Greetings, my fellow Earthlings. Welcome to Raven's Rabbit Hole. I am your intrepid host, Raven McMinn, and this is my cosmic rabbit hole, a place where we keep an open mind, we question everything, we speak our truth loud and proud, we think outside of the box, we walk down the roads less traveled and always on the wild side, and we always try to maintain a healthy sense of humor. If you're interested in extraterrestrials or parallel worlds, other dimensions, star seeds, crystals, lost history, metaphysics, quantum science, paranormal phenomena, or if you happen to be a tinfoil hat designer, then you are in the right place, my friend. But all are welcome here. With one foot firmly grounded in Mother Earth and in science and logic, and the other foot out exploring the cosmos for the wooest of the woo that woo-woo can find. It is my intention each week to bring you topics and guests that will expand your awareness and raise your consciousness about this crazy world that we live in. It's my sincerest hope that you'll either find this next hour educational, maybe inspiring, interesting, empowering, or at the very least entertaining. But whatever the case may be, I thank you for being here. I'd like to invite you to be part of the show by going to our private Facebook chat room. To do so, go to 12radio.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see a drop-down menu there. Look at the third one down. It says chat. Give that a click. And if you've never joined our group before, you'll see another button that you can click that says ask to join group. And when you do that, my wonderful producer, Jay, who is waiting in the wings, will see your request and get you approved and let you right on in. So once you're in there, look for my banner that says Raven's Rabbit Hole, and you're free to comment and post under there. And know that nothing that you put in there is going to show up on your timeline, so everything's all top secret, and you're amongst friends here. So, all right, I want to thank Jay for all he does for getting us on the air and sounding good. Thank you so much, my friend. I couldn't do this without you. And if you've never been in a rabbit hole before, you might be a little apprehensive about that, perhaps getting lost in the rabbit hole. Don't worry. Jay's a wizard. He'll find you, and he'll bring you back to the surface by the end of the show, so no worries there. How's everybody doing tonight? How was that solar eclipse energy treating you? Did you have an interesting day? Tell me about it in the chat room. I'd like to hear from you and see what kind of your day you had. We're going to talk about the solar eclipse today and some other energies that are happening in the cosmos. And so I have a very special guest here, my old partner in crime, the astrologer Terry Campbell, lovely, talented, amazing astrologer that she is. And she's going to be educating us on all of this and what to expect from all of this energy. We've got this, what they're calling, a second moon. I'm going to ask her about that. It's actually an asteroid, but everybody's calling it like a second moon, if you've heard of that. And it's supposed to be, YouTube is alive with all kinds of videos that I watched today about what the hell that thing means. And I'm like, oh, thank God Terry's coming out tonight and she can explain it all to us. Give us the straight scoop on it all. So, Terry, without further ado, come on in. She's a wonderful one-to-listen advisor and a one-to-listen previous radio host. And you can get a hold of her there at one-to-listen and get an astrology chart done. And I highly recommend that you do. Because Terry will go into your chart in ways that you will not hear other astrologers go to. And it's a fascinating, wonderful exercise in self-awareness. And she's got a great sense of humor and can deliver even the toughest of news with a smile and make you laugh. I just love her. I always learn something new every time I talk to her. So come on in, Terry. How you doing?
Raven, I'll tell you what. With such a buildup like that, I want to call and get a reading from myself. I'm thinking, I should call this person. It is always a joy to be with you, and it's wonderful to be with your audience, who I know so well, and I'm just delighted to be here on this eclipse day.
Yes, this has been really crazy. I remember what you said about eclipses, and I have not been outside all day.
It's so funny. Well, you didn't really have to worry about that because the eclipse has only been visible Argentina. In South America.
Well, I wasn't too sure because, the energies affect you no matter where you're at, right?
The energies are different, sure. So first of all, we had a solar eclipse today in Libra at 11:49 a.m. Pacific time. And it wasn't a total solar eclipse. It's what's called the ring of fire, because the type of eclipse that we're able to have is dependent upon how close or how far away the moon is to the Earth. Mm-hmm. what's interesting is, of course, the eclipse was in the south node of Libra. So this is the last of the Aries-Libra duos that we've had over the past 18 months. And the north node in Aries has, culturally, what we've been getting is learning how to have new ways of experiencing ourselves on our own terms, on our own terms. And that demonstration comes through that south node in Libra, which has to do with balance and proportion. Okay. And since the south node is what we're unconscious to, being able to have these periods where the energy is highlighted to bring our attention to with clarity. You know, I mean, there's so many ways that Libra is looked at as being rational or neutral, or because it's an air sign. Okay, mm-hmm. it's about relationship. And with that south node in Libra, what this period, what this eclipse is about, is wherever your whatever house Libra is in for you, it has something to do with shutting down old ways of caring.
Interesting.
The way we do relation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, isn't Libra known for relationships and learning through relationships and all about partnerships?
The thing that's interesting to me, and, you know, when I was thinking about, there's so many people that do wonderful, have done such wonderful work on talking about the eclipses and about the energy and everything. And I thought, what feels right for me to talk about tonight? So what I wanted to kind of go with is more a visual kind of thing, and go back to the idea of the scale. Because, mm-hmm. of course, Libra is about the scales. It's not an animal. It's not a person. And it's often given a hard time because it's considered to be emotionless. But the interesting thing is, Anubis was the Egyptian god of the underworld. And the scales were set up to have the feather on one side and the heart on the other.
And it's a heart.
If the heart was too heavy, then the soul wasn't able to move on. And so I often think about how the most important part of being able to balance has to do with releasing things from the heart, grudges, resentments, lack of forgiveness for oneself and others. And that's kind of what's wonderful about Libra. In the best sense, Libra is able to hold more than one point of view in order to be able to actually balance something, to mm-hmm. look at what's the proportionate kind of response. And so the places where we can get into trouble in Libra, and especially, again, we're talking the south node being there, is where we would be unconscious. So what are we doing too much of, and what are we doing too little of in relationship? Now, if our Aries is strong and that north node has been there to help us strengthen and to gain confidence that who we are and how we are is unique to us, and what it does is it helps to release what we no longer need to defend. And when you're not in a position of having to feel like you have to defend your self-worth or defend how you do something in particular, you're less likely to be over there in Libra overcompensating or being word salad equivocal. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've had the experience for yourself, because we all have Libra in our charts, of having an experience with someone where they asked you a direct question and part of you said, they're not going to like this answer, so I'm really going to give a non-answer. And I'm going to put in about 30 words, so maybe they'll forget the whole thing.
Yes.
Right? That's
guilty.
That's a Libra. Yeah, that's Libra headed for the door. Okay? So, you know, that emphasis in in Aries, that of that north node, of learning how and what we can count on with ourselves, and how the unique way that we can experience ourselves, and not having the kind of reservations. We've had 18 months of this, or we're at 15 months. Pisces and Libra, or Pisces and Virgo, are going to have the nodal changes in January. So we'll have had all this time to really gain some joy and some confidence in being able to express our Aries, which takes the burden off our Libra where it's expressed. Anyway, that's kind of my take on it. And now I'm going to express one of the bones I have to pick with any type of eclipse. I mean, it's like a mantra that I hear where people say, you need to let go of what doesn't serve you. And each time I hear that, I think, if I could do that, I would have done it already.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the same thing. I get so sick of hearing that.
it's said with the brevity and the self-assurance of, like, as if you were getting a ticket at the dry cleaners. Nope, I'm getting rid of this. I'm stopping that behavior. And when I talk to people, they express this feeling of, like, remorse or guilt. Why am I still doing this? Why? Well, you know, it makes sense, but that doesn't seem to be really helpful to me.
Right.
Yes, you can call attention to something. And yes, consciousness of something helps, because just by being aware of it, it helps to mitigate its influence. You know, so it's good to know that. But the really off the cuff kind of, well, just let go of whatever's not serving you. Oh my God, I would be perfect by now if I could do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, make it sound so easy. Yeah, just let it go. Like it's a, you know, backpack you're just set down on the road. Yeah, I know.
And so what I wanted to say to that, I saw I read an African proverb the other day, which so much touched my heart with respect to that kind of advice. And the proverb says, it's the heart that lets go. The fingers merely follow. And so being able to have respect for what is not leaving easily is, to me, just means there's another message there that needs to be heard, that needs time. And really to just release, if anything could be released, it would be like being able to release the guilt. There's a reason behavior patterns get put into play. But this energy has been really, I think, really, really helpful for that. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was, so the influence is having to do with this eclipse. This is a long eclipse. It's a strong eclipse, but it's fairly benevolent. And when I say fairly benevolent, I mean the imprint of it. There's a grand trine in water. And so with water, if we are stuck with something, or we feel like we're stuck with something, if we can allow ourselves to attune to the momentum, because water has flow. Mm-hmm. And if you don't push up against it, it will help to release some energy. And so that's a very supportive kind of backdrop to this eclipse.
Yeah.
Go ahead, dear.
Go ahead.
The other thing is that Libra is ruled by Venus, and Venus is a Scorpio. And so it becomes really important to focus on dealing with people at the highest level, being as diplomatic and as, what's the word I want here? Well, it's a kind of grace, because Libra in its best essence has a kind of grace and a real elegance to the relationship and being able to relate. Venus and Scorpio, you know, Scorpio can be, it could be a shootout. That's what I'm saying. Venus not aware in Scorpio could be like razor sharp, and, you know, definitely not a Libra type environment. So I think it's important to remember to take care and to pause and to remind yourself of the fact that you're dealing with another human being. And it's from that point that I want to talk about someone who I think is amazing. And I actually gave you a link to put in the chat.
Oh, yes.
And it's another Libra, actually, whose birthday was yesterday. And it's Dr. Mark Edmund Jones. And he came up with the Sabian symbols. And the symbols are kind of a clairvoyant type of description of each of the degrees in the zodiac. They have like an esoteric meaning to them. And the degree for this eclipse, which is considered whenever, just for your own personal interest, you go 1 degree up. So if your sun is at 0 degrees of Gemini, you would look at 1 degree. Anyway, today, Libra at 11 degrees, the Sabian symbol says, a professor peering over his glasses at his students. So what that has to do with is being able to be conscious of the lens that you use, the filters that you use, and being able to step around them, step outside of them, and to look at the person that you're dealing with. It's very easy we have a professor and students. Sometimes we're probably the professor, and sometimes we're probably the students. But it's not about education as much as it is about the kind of ways that you use information. Mm-hmm. And in this particular way, if you stumble and have issues in your relationship that have to do with some kind of conflict, it's very helpful to step around what the opinions are, what the books are that you've read, what the hard and fast rational mind would have you led to, and to look at the humanity of the person and be able to start to draw on the insightful and wise information that we each have access to. But we actually have to be set up for it. We actually have to choose to have that. So mm-hmm. that symbol that Dr. Jones put there has to do with being conscious of perspective. And that if something is not working in the immediate sense right now, that is to consider that the perspective is too closed in, or it's not taking into account a bigger picture.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned birthday. I need to just interrupt you for just a second. And I have 2 birthday shout outs I forgot to do right at the beginning of the show. So do you mind if I do them right now?
Sure. Absolutely.
One is my mother, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, my God.
And the other one is for this Sunday, my neighbor, Patrick, who has come to my rescue more than once. And happy birthday, Patrick. So, okay. Thank
you.
Well,
I'm really delighted I'm delighted that you got your mother in there. Because...
Usually I do those right at the very beginning of the show, but I was just so excited. I just kept on talking, and I'm an airhead. I'm going to blame it on the solar energy. It's just cooking my brain or something.
You're so funny. So I guess I want to say after this eclipse, and probably by the time that by the time we get into Pisces, there's going to be things that you're going to be aware of that were illuminated for you in Libra. You may notice that you have eliminated certain ways that you used to express yourself or what motivated you to express yourself in a certain way. And old associations, I mean, some are going to fall away. And to be prepared to say, am I able to let that happen? Or is my insecurity, am I over there in Aries still needing to take a look and ground in or have some new respect and appreciation for the kind of experiences that my soul wants to have.
Mm-hmm.
But giving the opportunity to reflect as we move through this, I think you'll notice that for guidance. If you get in a jam and nothing else seems to make sense, focus on what you care about. Whether it's what you care about in that particular moment of what you are negotiating. If it's about what your ideals are, because Libra acts from the ideals, okay?
Yes.
And there may be certain ideals that you no longer hold. Maybe they were your mom's ideals. Maybe they were your husband's ideals. And you realize that the reason you don't have any energy on them and you're not able to embrace them in a way that's reflected is because they're not yours. Mm-hmm. And it's a relief to know that. I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very illuminating.
Yeah. Everything that I have looked at today about this eclipse and the energies and so on and so forth in preparation for tonight said that the ways that you will be affected by this energy will be like old memories will resurface that need clearing, that you thought you were done with, you know, how those things creep up on you. And they're mostly be focused on past decisions that you made or past relationships, and that your dreams will be very vivid and to pay attention to any of the symbols or messages in those dreams. And that there's going to be an increase in emotional sensitivity, which is exactly what you're talking about here. A lot of things be coming to the surface to be released. Don't be surprised if you feel confused 1 minute and then joyful the next. They're going to recycle through kind of quickly. And that this, they're talking also about this asteroid, this other moon I want you to talk about too, saying that it is going to be creating this window of opportunity, a portal, if you will, from now until the 25th of November. And that it's going to balance, that it's masculine, and we look at our moon as being feminine, and it's going to create this gentle balance between the two, but keep an opening, some type of an opening. Now, I know a lot of these,
let me put it to you this way. Three planets walk into a bar. One is an asteroid. Unless the asteroid is Pluto, we don't care. I mean, I got nothing on this for you because it's not in my sphere. I've heard about it. You know, if it modifies something, it's beyond me. I have Saturn in my first house. I tend to go straight down the line and practical.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But I thought the fluff might be worth mentioning if you had any commentary on it.
I just gave it to you. Three planets walked into a bar. Well, one of them's an asteroid. Well, figure it out.
No, that's perfect. That is perfect. All right. Okay. But do you find that with eclipses, your dreams get, forget about the other second moon thing, but I mean, just with eclipses, do you find that dreams are more vivid for you or your customers?
Lunar eclipses, and, you know, especially this last one, because the eclipse was in Pisces, the lunar eclipse was in Pisces, but of course the nodes, it was an out of sign eclipse because the nodes are in Aries and Libra. So, yes, anything having to do with Pisces, the dreams and crossover longings, all kinds of things like that. I don't think it's any surprise that we've had such horrific rain, water. Neptune's at the end of Pisces. Mm-hmm. And this has all happened between the two eclipses. Devastating. And for many people, again, loss is unfathomable, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen the pictures, and the rescue efforts aren't coordinated very well. It's a mess.
The thing that I notice is that all of the things and the people that I see doing everything they can, volunteering, helicopter pilots.
Yeah.
Just there's a great deal of compassion. And one of the things I liked, I'm trying to think what I was telling about this, a great description or distinction with empathy and compassion is that empathy is like if you have a violin in your hand and you take the bow across the strings and you have a violin on the table, the strings on the table will resonate as you touch the bow, okay? And that's empathy. That's empathy. That's what we have as we're reading these stories and we are seeing these pictures, and that we have that. Compassion is what causes you to act. And I see that too. And that to me, in light of the kinds of polarity that we've had in our country, and especially in our country, is incredibly healing to me. That's a really good sign. All right. I think Libra's here to help us. I think this is a great way to go out. And I do want to say, for those of you Capricorns, and I know you're one. We have one more new moon next month with Pluto and Capricorn, and that party's over. Okay? Pluto will finally leave Capricorn, and none of us are going to be around here to see it in Capricorn the next time. So it's going to be a clean slate. And, you know, I always appreciate the solar eclipses so much because while none of us are ostensibly interested in losing things or the kinds of things that say something is leaving, the part about the solar eclipse is something is leaving and something better and more authentic is taking its place. Okay.
Okay.
And that's why the solar eclipses to me are just like a breath of fresh air. I think I said this one is going to have effects for the next 6 years. It will have its strongest effects starting about the middle of November of next year, for about 3 years. So take a look at the house that Libra is in and consider the activities of that house, and also consider that you're going to get a new setup, something that is true and real that you can grow with in terms of how you relate and how you're able to express yourself.
That would be seventh. Seventh house is relationships, isn't it?
There you go. You've got Libra in the seventh house?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were...
It's right before Scorpio, right?
I thought you were Pisces rising.
I am a Pisces rising.
Well, Virgo is across from Pisces.
It says Libra. I've got Libra in the, because I've got Scorpio in the eighth house.
Well, I guess I'd have to look at your chart again. That would be.
Libra comes right before Scorpio, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm positive about the Scorpio in the eighth house. So I've got, I think, two.
Well, you could have. You could have Libra in the seventh house, but if Pisces is rising, your ascendant, then your descendant line or the entrance to your seventh house would be Virgo. I'm sure you probably have Libra in the seventh house. Right, I'm correct about you having Pisces rising, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's in the end degrees. Is that it?
It must be what it is.
All I can say is if your Virgo's on your seventh house, boy, are your relationship people going to be surprised with you, because you are not a Virgo. You are not. It's like welcome into a Virgo house, and oh my God.
Well, I've got Pluto and Uranus are in, or right there. They're right there on that line. Okay, like,
yeah.
Here's a good question for you. Okay, you know, we're looking at our pie charts, I'll call it. And you've got a lot of stuff, like bunched up right there on that dividing line between one house and the other. How does that?
Okay,
that's
so
what I've got. See, and I'm positive that my seventh house is ruled by Libra because next one is Scorpio, eighth house.
Okay, so let me just say that your ascendant descendant line, without getting into too much techie stuff, has to do with the horizon. Everything above the horizon is open to everyone else, right? It's our social expression. It's how people would recognize us. It's how we recognize ourselves in social situations. Everything below that line is our personal development, our inside stuff, how we figure things out.
Okay.
And I'm telling you that if you have Pisces rising, you guaranteed have Virgo on the cusp of your seventh house.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Libra's there. I'm sure Libra's in that seventh house. If you say Scorpio starts your eighth, but it's intercepted, and that's another whole kind of gig. But
Libra's,
it has to do
Mars,
with.
I can tell you that the Libra is in Mars. I remember that much.
Mars is in Libra.
Mm-hmm. Mars and Libra, yeah.
Well, houses that are intercepted or signs that are intercepted in houses usually represent that we weren't in the environment that we needed to have the qualities expressed to us to help develop those energies. So you probably have Libra intercepted in your seventh, which is, how do I do partnerships?
Yeah.
Okay. How do I do partnerships? But that's a time. That's another kind of call.
Yes.
Okay. So what I did was I gave you the link to the Sabian symbols because it's actually Dr. Jones's website, and it has the Sabian symbols oracle, where you can ask questions, where you can form a question. And choose, and this is a great way to help get exposed to what the Sabian symbols are for each of the different degrees, and to activate that intuitive divine wisdom.
It's so addicting, folks. Let me tell you, she sent me that link, and I couldn't get off that link, and I forgot to get a hold of Jay a half hour earlier, and I forgot to do a lot of stuff here. Barely made it on the air because I was so busy asking questions, and it's a really cool groovy thing. Yeah, the link is posted in there. How did he come up with these things? Do you know what his process was?
Yeah, that's a long story. And he worked with a clairvoyant, and you know, to look at his chart. He has a strong Neptune influence, and Neptune gives us that bigger perspective of universal consciousness, we'll say.
Okay.
That kind of access. So while he came out with that book, it was actually Dame Roger that helped to spread the word and helped him to get credibility with it because Dane Rudger used it in the astrology of personality. So he helped to give it legs. But
is this like channeled information?
Yeah.
Or are you drawing upon older texts?
Well,
that's
the funny thing about mastery and wisdom is that and that's what I love about this particular degree for this eclipse, a professor peering over his glasses at his students, is that in order to have access to more than you have right now, you have to be willing to look over beyond what you've been focused on, what the lenses are. And that makes a difference. You know, that makes a difference. And being able to, everyone has a different level and a different connection with astrology. and being able to play with the Sabian symbols in the same way that people connect with Tarot, mm-hmm. Activates that really wise guidance that we have available that there's often not a channel for it to express.
Right. Okay. Wow, fascinating.
That's all I got, kid.
You know, I look at these ancient texts. I'm always looking for some kind of, hidden gem in the older archives of stuff, you know, and I've found a few YouTube channels. Archaics is one of them. Love that channel. He delves into old books and has pulled out, maps of things, how the calendar was manipulated, how we lost. They just kind of erased 400 years worth of history. It was a very bad time. It was right after a comet or an asteroid or something had hit the Earth. And they just kind of mulled over it. And it was just, after time goes on and on, who knows? There's only going to be a handful of people who actually have that knowledge passed down to them and would even know that that was even done. But he's gone through and he's a meticulous researcher. I'm always looking for that little gem of something from the ancients that makes sense of everything today. And I guess I'll be looking for a long time, really.
Here's what I want to suggest to you. If we're talking about today with this eclipse and the ability to have a larger perspective, it's to consider that there's a time to apply research, and then there's a time to step aside and to listen to what you're being directed to with that. Because I feel as though that as we move along into Aquarius, even the way that we're going to retain things that are important to retain. If we haven't been inundated with just mindless, like word salad beyond all.
Dribble.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think it seems to me there's going to be some way that we change how and what we take in and an economy of value, meaning what we know is important to us and what is important now to us will be available, and everything that isn't will be gone. Like, we're not going to learn the same way. And so much of it's going to have to do with going a step beyond and really learning how to deal with each other as human beings, being able to see that extra something. That takes a great deal of skill to be able to consistently hold two divergent points of view without demonizing one, without overinflating the other.
Right.
I mean, that's Libra energy at its finest.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they are the diplomat of the zodiac for sure. They can smooth it over.
But to be able to incorporate the human being, and that's really now as any other time, it seems to matter a lot that we remember that we all are human beings, and we need to take care of each other, and find ways to get to that understanding. And so, I think that's as much an evolution of Libra as the development of Aries, and being able to say, I don't have to fight you because I'm safe and I know some things about how I am and how I experience life, and I'm okay with that. Okay, it's not a contest.
Yeah, so
it changes things up.
There's also, I've noticed more and more that two people who seem to be on opposing sides of an issue can actually both of them be right and correct, because there's a third element to it that's not, immediately being recognized, but that both are right.
Right. And the bigger,
do you know what I'm
saying?
The
wider your perspective, the more that you can incorporate all of that. And then when you don't have to fight against something, a lot of that a lot of that extra energy that we're looking to undo, to release from the heart, to make the heart, to allow the heart to be lighter, to be able to live in right now and not be fighting what happened 3 months ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a certain level of acceptance. Is it really that important to be right? Would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? I would rather be happy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But again, it's so much bigger than right. Like, it doesn't matter. But to be able to get to that place requires, at least from the where I sit, it requires being able to feel safe in oneself and to have had enough reflection with others, because Libra's about relationship. When I'm looking at you, I'm also getting some insight into myself and getting some ways in which I learn about myself in that relationship.
Oh, that's so true. That's how we learn so much about ourselves, is the mirroring that others provide for us. And this can all be done in a very respectful way. We don't have to fight. You know,
it's so funny because, you know, Mars is the ruler of Aries, and energy, Mars energy is meant to help move us forward or move us, period. Right?
Move or be moved.
Well, Mars likes to experience. And if you get the sense of needing to move, there's something more being offered to you. So it's like to figure out what that is. Anger helps to inspire us to act, right? Mm-hmm. Take care of ourselves. Get off the train tracks. You know, so it's a way not, again, I keep going, it's not to demonize one direction. It's not to idolize another. That's an imbalance right there. That's against the Libra principles of the scale. It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Because you got to keep proving something. So it's not helpful.
No, it isn't helpful at all. And so with Pluto going into Aquarius, what do you see on the social and political scene on a worldwide stage? How do you think that's going to benefit us?
Honey, I don't have the faintest idea. What I'm hoping for, and I'm trying to think who it was that talked about this, said that in a really developed kind of relationship, we have what is an intact person creating an intact culture. And what that means is being able to act in ways to develop whatever is healthy, whatever is benevolent, whatever can be passed along, knowing you will not be around to see it. Hmm. So you're motivated by the heart. You contribute to what is strongly directing you with your heart. Those things will change. They will get refined. They will finish up for you in cycles like everything else, and something else will come along. And I thought that is absolutely profound to be able to say that if you are looking to be the greatest expression of what you were here for, to be able to put out into the world all that you would value as good, or to let come through you as growth and benevolence, in a way, knowing that you will never be here to see any of it. That's a legacy. That's a legacy.
Aquarius is something that has always confused me, in that, okay, we've got Aquarius is the water bearer. So naturally you would kind of assume that would be a water sign, but it's not. It's an air sign. And air is, as far as the elements pairing up, air and water aren't paired harmoniously. And so when you've got Aquarius embodying both of those aspects, that to me always seems like some type of a conflict.
Well, Aquarius is a long story. And no one really knows for sure how that's going to demonstrate. There's some ideas, there's AI. you know, there's changes in the body about how we process things. But the kind of definitions that we have right now are not the definitions that we need to work with Aquarius. So it's going to be an exploration. That's my sense anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how Mark always says that Aquarius is the humanitarian who doesn't necessarily like humans.
Well, you have to have a certain kind of distance if you're taking a look, again, the perspective, right? How many humans are you looking at being able to, like, we'll look at the disaster that's going on right now with Helene. How do you look at that to try and provide for the greatest number and have a system of support to take care of people in that kind of condition, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to have somebody that has a perspective and can balance a lot of different kinds of interests. And I think that's the challenge of Aquarius.
We live in interesting times, my friend.
At the very least. I also want to let you know that I put a link in the chat. I have a special with this Libra Eclipse, a time-based session with 1-2-Listen that will only be available for the remainder of this week. I invite you to give it a look, and if it sounds like something you're interested in, please let me know.
Yes.
And thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been wonderful to be here.
Oh, God, it's so good to be on the air with you again. I miss airwaves. I miss that so much. I had so much fun with you and Greg.
We did have a good time.
And it was so interesting because, you know, those words that we chose that we would pick out every week, it's still with me, how we broke those words down into what they really meant, what they symbolized, how to work with them in real life. And so whenever those words I'm reading, you know, along, one of those words pops up, it stands out to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Also, what stands out to me are a few songs that I botched your your little game show thing we were having on the, yeah. God.
It's all good.
That song, I cringe and I laugh.
It's all good. It's all fun. That's what it's supposed to be about, for me anyway. You mm-hmm. know, it's about having a good time. I always think of my friend telling me that Gemini, in its highest expression, is about amusement and being able to be amused and not getting too caught up in too much of anything. Again, it's perspective.
Yeah. I thank God that I have a Gemini moon to balance that serious Capricorn sun that I have, that I battle with all the time. So what kind of astrology readings do you offer? Because there's all kinds of different readings and so forth. I know you got this special, but what other readings can people get from you?
You know what? I have never, aside from doing some specials, I have never purposely promoted astrology on Once You Listen. I don't know why that is. It just always kind of gets interwoven in whatever anybody's interested in, because often people will call with a certain type of topic, and it's easy enough for me to be able to talk to them about the kinds of things that are influencing them from an astrological standpoint, because those kind of things to me are about timing. Like mm-hmm. you have it's being able to figure out what your cycle of understanding, learning, and release is about. Okay. And if you get a momentum for that, if you get a kind of feeling for that, it dispels the anxiety. It gives you a chance to get into the flow of whatever the energy is. And it changes, again, it can change the way you are able to look at something. So I kind of incorporate astrology in any of the readings that I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would, naturally. Yeah. But like if somebody wanted a relationship compatibility chart, you do those, right?
I do synastry. Those are incredibly involved. Okay. And it helps to have some type of it helps to have some kind of understanding of your own position, your natal chart, and what's affecting you. It's not great to just jump into that without knowing a lot about what you show up as. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a more advanced one, I would say.
What about like astrocartography, where you use your chart to figure out the best places on the planet for you to live? It would be more, or you can expect.
I mean, I love astrocartography. I mean, it's fantastic, and I've done some charts for people, private clients that I have. The thing is that it's important to remember that when you're in an environment or the environment that you're in it for a reason. And the energy that's there is supporting you in some particular way. I had a client once that said, I want this. I want to meet a new guy. I want to make more money. I want my business to take off. I said, okay, but I'm telling you that we're talking 0 to 50, 0 to 180. I mean, it was a huge change. And she mm-hmm. was great. She was over the moon for the first, oh, I would say 6 months. And then she crashed because all of that good stuff happening, all of those lottery winning kinds of experiences with the job and the money and the love life and all of that, she had things that had been keeping her from having that where she lived before. And so having the capacity to receive what you want to move towards is important. Kind of got to build up to that, my opinion.
Right. Yeah. You got to build that foundation and go through that, process that stuff. Otherwise, it'll come back and you'll sabotage yourself, right?
Oh, easily. Quickly. Quickly.
Self-sabotage has been my middle name for a long time. I know a little bit about that.
And yeah. moving expenses not deductible in those situations.
No doubt. Oh, well, thank you so much, Terry. We've talked down to the end of the hour, and so everyone can get a hold of you at 1-2-LISTEN. And do take advantage of the special that she's offering here. It's just for this, just for you guys here, just for this short amount of time. When's it end?
It'll be the end of the week. It's been great to be here. So thank you so much for having me. And it's been great to see all my friends there in chat. Lots of love to you.
You have an open invitation to the rabbit hole anytime, my friend, anytime. So to all of you, thank you so much to everyone in the chat room tonight. Love you. And remember, just bloom where you're planted and just shine your light, because the world needs it so bad right now. I need not even expound on that. You know that already. So don't be afraid to shine your light. And we'll be back again next week with another live show. So thanks so much. Love you all. Good night.